It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 342, entitled AI is Lit. It was recorded on Monday, the 28th of July, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by co-host Michelle Frechette and by guests Andrew Palmer, and also I am joined by Rob Cairns. Well, we spend quite a bit of the time at the beginning talking about some bits and pieces that the guests have bought. Michelle has brought along WP Includes.me and also WP Trail Bodies. They are projects in the WordPress space to promote you inside the WordPress project. Andrew brings along something called Early Access. It's the agentic AI which is coming to Atterim, and also talks about some updates to his personal website and also all of the bits and pieces that are happening across the WordPress project. And we sum all of that up in a calendar of meetings. There really is an awful lot going on. And then we get into the WordPress stuff and we say a thank you to Equalize Digital for all of the bits and pieces that they have done, especially in the recent release of WooCommerce. We also talk about some events, but the vast majority of this episode is all of us trying to grapple with AI in WordPress and the dramatic changes that have been happening just over the last few weeks with the AI team. So we unpack three articles on make.wordpress, but then we also get into a whole slew of other products coming out of places like Hostinger and Elementor. So there's absolutely loads of AI bits and pieces. And right at the end, we also draw a fish. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, yeah, there he is. Just trying to get rid of the evidence quick. It's episode number 342 of This Week in WordPress. We drone on about WordPress. Actually, today it's going to be a little bit of WordPress and quite a lot of AI, most of it related to WordPress. Seemingly, I can't get away from the WordPress news. They seem to be absolutely combined together at the moment. We normally do this at 2 p.m. UK time. That's indeed the time that we're doing it now. Stick it in your calendar if you like, and we'll be back each and every week pretty much. There is a slight hiatus coming up because I'm sure many of the panel today will be heading to WordCamp US in a few weeks' time. And so we'll take a week or two off for that. But usually it's 2 p.m. UK time on a Monday. And really appreciate having you here. If you want to participate in the comments, that really kind of keeps the show rolling. It's a really nice way of kind of getting a litmus test on what people are thinking, and you know, it enables us to chat around what your comments are and things like that. The best way to do that is to head to our website. You go to wpbuilds.com/live, and over there the video is embedded, and there's a little box on the right-hand side if you're on a desktop, and it's below the screen, you know, the video screen if you're on a mobile. And that is YouTube comments. So you need to be logged into Google. That's wpbuilds.com/live. However, if you don't like Google, you don't have a Google account, you can click the little live chat button at the top right of the video player. And if you click that, you don't have to be logged into anything. You just pop your name in. And the video platform that we use to do this is called Wave. it will consume the comments and we'll know all about you. So yeah, head there, wpbuilds.com/live. Tweet it to your friends, relations, cousins, guinea pigs, aunts, stoats, weasels, and badgers, but only those animals. Any others? No chance. Don't bother. So thanks, Michelle. Appreciate that. The panel today, as you can see, we've got three other people joining us, as always. Well, you've been on an awful lot lately, Michelle, and I'm extremely grateful for that fact.
Last week was interesting because I woke up to the announcement that I was on the show and I hadn't even registered for it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And yet somehow the calendar said, no, you're on the show. I think the AI got involved and it was like, it's Michelle's on the show. You know, let's put her in.
Like, include her and see if she shows up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, I appreciate you being here once again. They're obviously beneath me in the drawer in the image there. There's Michelle Frechette. She is the executive director of Post Status. In addition to the work over there, Michelle is also the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founded Underrepresented in Tech, WP Speakers, and also the creator of WP Career Pages, co-founder of Sponsor Me WP and Speed Network Online. And we'll find out about something more in a moment. But in addition to all that, she likes to write, so is an author, influencer, and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress and tech events. Living outside of Rochester, New York, she likes to take nature photographs. And the one URL which combines them all is meetmichelle.online. And from here, we can see the weather where you are currently, because Michelle put in a comment. It is a balmy 78 degrees Fahrenheit or 26 degrees centigrade. You stay. Yeah, that's pretty warm.
Yeah. I mean, it's 9 a.m. It's only going to get hotter.
Yeah. That's where I live. If it gets to 26, it's been a profoundly hot day. We don't often get that hot, in all honesty.
Oh, okay. It'll be 32 today for those of you who pay attention to something.
No. We don't want that. Okay. The next one is the next comment is Andrew Palmer, and I might as well put his comment up and read out his bio at the same time. There is Andrew. Hello, Andrew. How are you doing?
Hello.
Andrew is heading up the sales to the DIFM market. What does that mean? I never know what.
Do it for me. Do it for me. Yeah. For hosts, basically, who don't have a do it for me opportunity, we allow them to have that opportunity.
Got it. Okay, let me start that again. So Andrew is heading up the sales to the do it for me market for WordPress website hosts and is an avid follower of all things WordPress. He talks about AI, web, and cooking, as he used to be a chef, amongst other things. Missed from that bio, though, is what you can see underneath his name on the screen. Andrew currently works with Atarim. I'm sure you know what Atarim is. If not, then go and check it out. Atarim.io is the URL.
It's my job to let people know what Atarim.io is.
Yeah, we've got a piece coming up where you can explain a little bit about that, as well as some new feature. It looks, or new, I don't know what to say about that. You can explain it all to us in a moment. Thank you very much. And last but by no means least, over there, Rob Cairns, coming from a cruise ship, or not. Rob is the founder and CEO of Stunning Digital Marketing. He also hosts the SDM Show podcast. In his spare time, he likes sports and touring around with his partner, Tiz. And he's just come back from a nice long holiday, by the sounds of it. Quite jealous.
Yeah, we were in Italy for 10 days, and I don't want to be home, so there you go.
That's the backdrop. It's like continuing on.
lots of wine and lots of good food and lots of wonderful just family, and it was great holiday.
So. I think the Italians do culture pretty well. That's my take on it anyway. Yeah. Andrew's nodding. Andrew says he doesn't know what the temperature is, but it's not hot. However, it's sunny in Charlotte, says Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Nice to have you with us. Influence WP there. Marcus Spinett joining us as well. Happiest of Mondays from the middle of the Sunshine State, Florida. Always a joy to see these wonderful people to start the week. Hey, Marcus, your card game, for some reason I've closed the link and I can't now find it. Can you post the link into your card game? Because I wanted to feature it, and then somehow in about 10 minutes before the show started, I lost it. I put it up, I've lost it, and I can't now retrieve it. My history is not working properly. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd be really grateful about that. And Jackson is joining us. Ciao. There you go. He's right where you were. Ciao from a baking Southern Italia.
It was hot.
Yeah, I get it.
He does like a bit of Italian, does that, Jackson?
Yeah, it was shockingly Italian, in fact. Mm. Yeah. Okay, there's our panel. Thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. As I said, keep the comments coming in. Yeah, really love it very, very much indeed. Oh, and Michelle has got us the logo, the what do we call
the
it?
Link,
the URL for that. In fact, I'm going to do that. Why not? Let's just do that.
To the first.
As Marcus is in the comments, Marcus has come up with a card game, a WAPU card game.
It's called very Pokemon-ish, I think.
Yes.
Very
yes.
Pokemon-ish. Here it is on the screen. So the URL is the wp.world /product. And then the card game is all, you know, hyphenated. So the words is Unleash the WAPU card game. You have to go to that URL. I'm sure you can probably Google
it's
it.
It's in the shop.
Point.
If you just click the shop, you'll find it. It's right there.
Just here. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. And it sounds like, from Marcus's point of view, it sounds like there's a bit of pre-sale going on, because mm-hmm. I read a tweet, I think, that you put out, Marcus, basically saying that you're at that point where you wanna get the first pack from the manufacturer and check out the quality and what have you. But the idea has been figured. I guess you just now want to know whether or not the quality of the actual merchandise that you're going to get is worth it. But look, here it is. I didn't know. I can't tell you that there's any other game in the WordPress space like this. So it's called Unleash the WAPU. It's on sale at the moment. If you want to do a pre-sale, $34.99. And it said, build your dashboard with lovable WAPUs and powerful plugins, then sabotage your friends with malware and functions in this chaotic 108 card community field strategy game. I can't say more than that because I haven't caught sight of it yet. But gotta say,
he's supposed to receive the prototype today.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he'll be sharing more information with us once he's able to.
Hopefully he'll bring it to WordCamp US. There was a card game done by Angry Creative.
Oh, was
this company did the WordPress card game, but it's not anything, doesn't look as anything as fun as this.
There sure. You go. That's the picture I want, actually. So the representation here, maybe this Marcus has put this together, or this has come from in the company that I'm making. It looks really, I mean, it looks like a totally legit, you know, game that you buy in a store. So first of all, bravo, Marcus. I hope it sells well. The wp.world, and then there's a link in the top, right in the top menu, near the far right of that menu. It's called shop. And if you go there, one of those items, there it is. Look, Unleash the WAPU card game. You can get yourself early access.
I already ordered mine. He'll be bringing it to WordCamp US for me, yes.
Oh, nice. Okay, so if you're going to be going to WordCamp US, you may be able to get it from the founder in person. Anyway, bravo. I can only imagine that that kind of thing is an awful lot of work to put together.
I wonder if he does cash. Marcus, do you do cash?
Yeah, pre-sale.
We like a bit of cash in the UK.
To WordCamp US and get your copy. Yeah, he's going to come with like a trolley load of the card games and try and hawk them in the sponsor stalls. That'd be good. Okay, let's get on to what we're doing over here. So this is us, wpbuilds.com. If you like what we're doing, you just want to be kept up to date, just put your email address in there. We'll send you a couple of emails each week. Mainly what we do is this show plus a podcast, which comes out on a Thursday. This is what that podcast looks like. The most recent one was with Robert Abella from Mellopress. That was 4:30. It was all about his new user roles management plugin, which enables you to sort of granularly set what different users can do and allow them and disallow them to do various different bits and pieces. So that's the most recent episode. However, we do some other stuff as well. And one of the things that I do fairly frequently, it's probably like every 6 to 8 weeks, something like that, is I get on a video call with a lovely chap from the US called Joe Dolson. And he's an accessibility. His area is accessibility. He's a WordPress core contributor. And we go through different bits of WordPress websites, and teases out the bits of accessibility that he thinks could do with a bit of improvement. It was a bit of dog food, eating my own dog food this time, because I put up one of my sites. It's called The NoScript Show. So if you fancy having a look at that, you can see. It really isn't me that does that site. It's my friend David Wormsley. I'm part of the podcast, but he's responsible for the site. And because there were no wave errors, there were no automated errors, Joe really had to dig into the weeds and find all of the different bits and pieces. So it was really interesting. If you pass the tests, there's still an absolute boatload of things that you can take a look at. So go check that out. You find that by going to the archives and then click Accessibility Show archive just there. And it was episode number 7. Right, I'm nearly done with the self-promotional bit. I'm sorry, it's quite long. I sat down with Adam Silverstein at WordCamp Europe. He is a Googler. Honestly, some podcast episodes are just, from my point of view, they're just really interesting. It goes without saying that I have my proclivities for what I enjoy as much as anybody else. This one just hit me. I just thought this was brilliant. He works at Google. He's part of the team which kind of help build the browsers and things like that, so Chrome. And he's talking about all the different things that are coming into the browsers so that you don't have to use JavaScript anymore. Things like carousels and all this other stuff which is coming. Honestly, it was really, really interesting. If you build websites and you're relying on JavaScript libraries to do this, that, and the other, there is a chance the browser soon will be doing it. And he talks about all of that, and it's really interesting. And last one, very last one, Dan Mabey and I, Dan Mabey mostly, me really just sort of hanging on his coattails, we've got a plugin that we're kind of beta testing at the moment. It's called Podcaster Plus, and it's a block solution for building podcast pages and players and things like that. And we're looking for people to beta test it. And if you fancy that, if you've got like an audio-based like podcast show, something like that, you're right in our target hairs. Podcasterplus.com/beta if you'd like to be a part of that. And the idea is that you chuck in a bunch of blocks. Each part of the podcast player is a separate block. So the play button is a block, the skip backwards is a block, the skip forwards is a block, all of those things. So you can build a player any which way you like.
It's really lovely.
Honestly, I've never come across anything like it. There isn't a thing like it as far as I know. And you really can tailor something to your needs. You know, if you've got like a heavy metal grunge podcast or something, you can really lean in on that aesthetic, or if you just want something straightforward and obvious. But we're very much beta. It's kind of like there are things that are janky and go wrong, but we'd like some testing. So podcasterplus.com/beta if you want to help us out. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. That is all my self-promotion. Should we go to the comments before we dig into the actual content?
Yes, there are very many of them.
Okay. Sure. All righty. So Jackson's saying hello. Oh, Tammy Lister's joining us. Afternoon, she says. Thank you, Tammy. Lawrence Ladomery is saying hello, and he's saying ciao. Marcus is here. He's talking about the game, I guess. The link I posted is...
Yeah, it actually has its own, website, which I neglected to find. Just unleashthewapoo.com.
Okay.
That's a lot more information.
Michelle, keep up.
What the heck?
Honestly.
It's going in the chat right now.
I like it. So we'll make sure that goes into the show notes as well. And he says he's happy to take cash. Bring the cash. Bring the cash, get your game. There we go. That's nice.
One of the few.
Tax free. Apologies, correcting, but doesn't he no longer work at Google? When I spoke to him, he worked at Google. He may no longer work at Google. So that could be, you could be right. I think we're talking about Adam there. Perhaps he doesn't work at Google anymore. Looking forward to WordCamp US over here. Tammy, have you gone to America now? You said, I think, that you were going for a period of time or something. Have you got there already? Okie dokie, let's dig into what our guests have bought. Michelle came up with an idea recently that was, why not do the guest content first? That way it doesn't get kind of like squashed towards the end. And so the first piece is something that Michelle has bought. Over to you, Michelle. WP Include.
Yeah. So WPIncludes.me was launched about a year and a half ago by Francesca Marano and Siobhan. I'm sorry, Siobhan, I just forgot your last name. Anyway.
McCowan.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yes. McEwen?
Yes. And then
also D. Teal is part of the organizers. And we are getting ready to launch. Actually, we have launched for the next cohort. And the beautiful thing about it is I am now the program director for WPIncludes.me. Yep, I work about one day a week on this project and help keep it moving forward. So there, if you scroll down, you'll see the founders are right there.
Yeah, there we are.
So yes, Siobhan McEwen, Francesca Morato, and D. Teal. And they have entrusted me with keeping the project moving forward. They are absolutely my bosses, and I go to them for information and approvals, but they are just encouraging me to continue moving forward with it quickly. And so we've added some things to the website, like you can see some testimonials there. And then if you go to the news section, of course, you'll find the announcement of joining. This is entirely for women and women identifying people. This is women mentoring women in WordPress. So if you are somebody who has time to give and wants to help the next generation of women grow up in WordPress and find those C-suite directorship level positions, this is a great way to be involved. If you are somebody who wants to climb the ladder within your organization or within WordPress itself or other organizations looking for a job, this is a great place to join. I did my first mentorship last term and had a wonderful experience with Tatiana Perez, who is in Brazil. And so she and I met frequently and helped her understand and grow a little bit in the WordPress community. So it's a very exciting thing to be a part of.
Nice. The URL is on the screen, but for those of you who are listening to this as audio, which is most of you, in all honesty, that'll be tomorrow. WPincludes.me is the URL, and you can find out more. If
one thing I would say is that Francesca got married recently, I think.
She did.
And she's now at PatchStack rather than XWP, I think, isn't she?
She is, yep. She's at PatchStack, and I believe so is Siobhan.
Oh, okay. It's like a whole patch stack thing. They're all moving.
We're a very open person, very willing to share and be kind and everything. And I think that's what it's all about, isn't it, Michelle, really? Just sharing.
It is, absolutely.
I think she's part of, we'll mention it in a minute properly, but I think she's part of LoopConf as well. That is Siobhan, I mean, not Francesca. Mm-hmm. I think so, at least, anyway. So the URL's on the screen, but once more, wpincludes.me is the page. You can go to that. But Michelle's also bought another one.
So this is my newest thing. Yes. So I remember back to being a first-time WordCamp attendee. And even though it was a smaller local camp, I was a little overwhelmed. But then my next camp was WordCamp US, the very first one. And suddenly I was somebody in a group of over 1,000 people, none of whom I knew outside of seeing them on Twitter and things like that. And it was very overwhelming. And I'm an outgoing person. And I still was like, am I in the right place? Do I belong here? And so I know that there's other people who feel that same way. And so I decided, wouldn't it be kind of cool to set up like a big brother, big sister type program for people who are attending their first flagship WordCamp? Keeping it to flagships right now because I'm running this all by myself. And as we know, I'm a busy person. So I need to kind of control it, at least to begin, see how it works. And then, so the idea is you can sign up to be a veteran attendee or a new/newer attendee. So it doesn't have to be your first ever WordCamp, but it needs to at least be your first flagship WordCamp. And if you're a little bit like, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if I knew somebody before I even got there? This is a great place to sign up. It's free for everybody. Nobody's getting paid. I'm not getting paid. It's just simply pairing people up a week before WordCamp so that you have somebody to talk to, somebody to touch base with while you're there, somebody to ask questions of. And so we've got two newer attendees who are already signed up and eight veterans. So I need more new people to sign up if you're interested in matching up with somebody. Otherwise, you know, it's a little unbalanced, but I think it's going to grow. And I'm really excited about matching people up and giving somebody an opportunity to know somebody before they get there. The only asks are that you be in touch with each other before the event, that you meet at registration to introduce yourselves, and have at least one lunch together while you're there. Those are the expectations. Of course, it's in your hands. You can do what you want, but that's what I ask of people. And then if there's any other possibility of sitting in on a session together and just kind of shepherding somebody through, I think that would be a really good thing.
What a nice idea. So you're going to trial it from now until WordCamp US is going to be the first one, which is happening in just really a few weeks now, four weeks, something like that. And go and fill out the form. It's on the website. It is, the URL is wptrailbodies.wordpress.com, wptrailbodies.wordpress.com. I'll put the link in the show notes.
I didn't really want to register another URL why not use one of our resources?
Another single domain thing. Okay. Thank you so much. So there it is. Have a little look at that, especially if you're going to be attending that event and you have an intuition that that is something that you could help out with or make use of. I think we've got a few more comments coming in. Just a few people sort of talking amongst themselves and saying hi to each other. That's quite nice. But we have one here. Vladimir, I'm not going to try your surname. Yeah, I am. Melnychenko. I apologize for that. I've probably just butchered it. He's saying hello from Finland. It's sunny in Helsinki. very nice to have you with us. Okay, let us move on. We will move on in that case. Andrew Palmer's brought a couple of things to our attention. This is new, or at least I think it's new. Atarim.io/early-access. Atarim.io/early-access. What's this?
This is a pivot. This is basically bringing Atarim into AI rather than the other way around, AI into Atarim. We've got six team members that will keep you company. You basically hit the review button when you're just about ready to launch, and you've got Lexi, who's your pedantic secretarial type of person who will proofread everything and make sure that you're all happy with the brand voice. And you've got Index, who's the SEO guy. You've got Glitch, who's going to pick up all your mistakes. You've got
nice naming.
Pixel, who's your UI UX designer, and a couple of others that I can't remember.
Yeah, so
brand new.
I am so green with AI. Like, I talk about it, and we're going to talk a lot about it later, but I really don't actually make much use of it personally. Can I just ask a fairly dumb question about that?
Yeah.
Do these teams have, do they basically stay on so that if I was to come back like a week later and kind of try to pick up the conversation where I left off, do you know whether it does that kind of, I think
it certainly does. So what happens is you do a review and the little stars are it, like comments. You know, Atarim is a commenting system,
yep.
Closes the communication loop between developers and their clients. The stars are on there. The developer does a review. It searches 2,500 queries, you know, because Vito was involved in Birth for AI. So from then he got the he got the prompt writing bug. And, you know, we've got a full-on team that's working on AI at the moment. So they're all agents. They're agentic. So if you accept their comment, you can then converse with them. So you can say, Index, I don't like that CTA that you've just suggested. You've criticized my CTA, but so what's a better one? But I don't like your one. And and Index will go out and look in the SERPs and go, okay, we'll try this one. Pixel will tell you that your UI UX is a bit mucked up. Maybe a bit of CSS is gone. And Navi will help you with accessibility. Is your ally, basically, and that will tell you about accessibility issues that you've got, that you've got no ARIA, it doesn't tab right or anything like that. So they all talk to each other when they're doing the review of each page, and then you can talk to them and have a conversation with them. And you can actually ask at Lexi, if I did that CTA, would that still be within my brand voice? And Lexi would go, yes or no.
Yeah, so the fact that this has got a request early access button instead of saying, you know, submit or whatever it might normally say,
you might see something.
Say again.
Just mouse over the, so just to put your name in there, in say
for there you go. Or something. Yeah, it says here limited to the first 5,000 signups. So
yeah, but if you click on the first name, there might be an animation that comes up. It's not coming up normally. We've got characters basically.
Oh, I see.
I can't share my screen, but I could show you the characters.
I've got a browser which tries to kind of, I don't know, insulate me from sort of third party scripts and
things. Yeah, but anyway, so we've got there's six characters. Six agents, six of your fellow team workers, and they will either comment or not. You can invoke them. Once you've invoked them, you accept their comment as a task, and then you can continue the conversation ad infinitum, even when you close the browser down on that collaboration link.
Does this bind to, like, do I need to have an Atarim paid up account to get this going?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
It's a premium. It's premium because you've got lots of agents dealing with you, but yeah, it's a premium account, and pricing will be announced in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We're looking to supply. We're looking to get 5,000 people on there. It's nearly full, actually. So you know, if you want to sign up for early access, get it. You get free agents. This is basically a sample, so you'll get free agents. But we need the feedback because Atarim has always been built with feedback.
So atarim.io/early-access if you want to find out about the creative team over there, check it out. And if you want to get part of the first 5,000, then go there quickly. And what else have we got? This is just you. You've had a bit of a play with your personal website, I guess.
Well, because I've been on a lot of podcasts and people ask my history, and I've got a very, like Michelle, I've been very, very busy. And, you know, my bio could be 5 pages long. And I just thought, you know, no, I don't want to do that. I want it two lines long. So when somebody on a podcast asks me what I've been up to or how I started or what's my backstory or whatever, I just point them to this. But basically, I rewrote it only last week because I thought I could not have done any of this without the community supporting me to do it.
Nice.
Right? So now it's more thanks to the community. Thanks, community. I really love you. And, you know, you've really helped me buy a car and put my daughter through school and all this kind of stuff and travel the world. I've traveled the world with WordPress and I'm very grateful for it. But I could not have done it without people buying my various products from Elegant Marketplace to Layouts Cloud to Page Builder Cloud to whatever it may be, you know. So it's a post of gratitude up there that to say, this isn't all me. You know, we can't make it on our own. There's always, whenever somebody says they're self-made, that's BS as far as I'm concerned. I've never met a self-made person that hasn't had a little hand up from someone. And so I just thought I'd make it a bit more real. It's not all me.
I know that you know Stephanie Hudson, but she says hi, by the way. Morning, friends. And then she's right in there, look at that. Only Andrew would bring his own site.
what's the reason behind it?
Yeah, there was. It was lovely. I think that's quite a nice hat tip to the community. That's really lovely. Elliot is joining us from Bridlington. Hello. And then we've got somebody, YM Valerio. Hello as well. Nice to have you with us. Really nice. So that one is thisisandrewpalmer.com. Thisisandrewpalmer.com. And there's another one here, which is Andrew Palmer brought this one, but it's not one of his own sort of, you know, atterim or his own website. This is the upcoming WordPress meetings. It kind of ties into what you were talking about a minute ago, you know, being a part of the community and what have you.
Yeah, I mean, I recently rejoined make.wordpress.org. And I'm astounded by how much goes into WordPress work. Yeah. It's mad. I mean, it is absolutely mad. So I just wanted to bring people's attention to the fact that all of these meetings go on all of the time. And without them, we wouldn't have a WordPress. It's that simple. I mean, it's just an incredible amount of people involved in an incredible amount of diverse things that are happening in WordPress, you know, from AI to core to the plugin team to the diversity team to the Ally team to everybody. It's just incredible what a facility that WordPress.org is. It's crazy. So, you know, again, another gratitude post, really. That's very sounding very American of me, you know, being British. We don't normally go, oh, yeah, I'm full of gratitude. But I am. I'm genuinely full of gratitude to the fact that we have a WordPress.org. It's crazy.
This is, I confess, it has been many years since I went to any URL which looked like this calendar. But if you go to make.wordpress.org/meetings, and basically it's a calendar interface for those of you that can't see it. It's like a weekly calendar with various different rectangles on each representing a different meeting that's happening. And in some cases, it may be as many as, I don't know, 8 or 9 things. Wednesdays seem to be the sort of busy day in most weeks. But then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, there's stuff going on. Everybody seems to take the weekend off, which is nice. But it really does give you an impression of what you could get involved with. So as an example, Openverse is going to be happening later today. There's going to be a weekly chat about that. Tomorrow, the training team, documentation team, performance team, accessibility, bug scrub, Tide weekly chat, and then there's a core privacy one. And on it goes, you know. And I think you're right, Andrew. This stuff just goes under the radar, doesn't it? Yeah. There's not a lot of shouting from the rooftops from any of these teams because that's...
Well, I think there should be. I think we've got to make sure that we know within the community what actually it takes to be part of this community. And it's just, you know, I want to steer away from negativity, steer to the positivity, and make sure that people know what .org actually offers you. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
it is crazy.
Crazy amount of information, amount of learning, and also you can get involved in anything. You don't have to be a coder. You just have to care about WordPress. So, you know, I'm looking at ways to free my time up, make sure that I can contribute in some way. I'm going to Contributors Day at WordCamp US, which is good. And we're a SaaS, you know, I work for a SaaS company. Yes, we started off in WordPress, but, you know, if there's any way that you can contribute to WordPress, do it. Why not?
Tammy makes the point, it actually hasn't come up yet inside the platform. Oh, no, there we go. It's just coming. That each team posts these on their own blogs. Yeah, I guess the thing about that, Tammy, is you always end up like looking at one thing, don't you? Whereas this screen that Andrew shared, I should probably take that little nag prompt thing off there. It really sums it up as how much is going on, which I haven't really thought about before until I saw it in that sort of weekly layout. It gives you a real impression of what's going on, and there's absolutely loads. But Tammy's right. Each team posts these bits and pieces on their own blogs. And find out more. Click on the links in there. Once more, make.wordpress.org/meetings. Thank you, Andrew. That was nice. Very philanthropic. Yeah. You have brought another one as well, which I was probably going to bring anyway. So this kind of is both of us at the same time, I think, really. Contributor Day. Now, Contributor Day is something which is bolted on to a WordPress event. Very often a WordCamp will have a Contributor Day where you go and you sort of sit at a table and see if you can help in some aspect of the project. It's on the 17th of September for Word. This is actually the 2024 one. I've clicked on the wrong one here. I don't know how I've ended up.
I thought, oh my God, I've got the wrong ticket.
No, I don't know if it's you. I think I have simply clicked on the wrong link. So ignore that. But basically, there's going to be a Contributor Day for this WordCamp US coming up as well. It's obviously going to be in August, not September 2024.
You replace that 5 with 4 with a 5. You
simple
get there.
As that. Yeah, I was thinking that would work, but I wasn't 100% sure that it would. So let's see if that works.
Just give it a go. Look at that.
Yeah, it does. So there you go. 26th of August, and it's starting at 9 a.m. inside the conference center. But you were saying from this that you think it's kind of a bit of a different ball game this time around.
Well, it's I heard, and I can't remember where I heard it from, but I read it. I didn't hear it. I read it that it's going to be more of a hackathon type feel. So almost like
do you remember what they did
at Cloudfest, where they made it almost like a little competition? But I think it's going to be more based on a hackathon. So you've got some targets and you've got some incentives and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think it's going to be exactly like the cloud.
No, I guess given the
basically
fact that
it gets people incentivized a bit more if it feels like a little bit of a yay, our table won or whatever it may be.
Yeah. So I went to the Cloudfest hackathon in Germany a few months ago, and it was really quite interesting because there's this whole kind of like, you know, everybody sat down, they had their own little project with goals in mind. The goals were clearly stated before the thing started. So it wasn't just sit down, see what you can find, see what suits you. It was more, if you nominate to sit at this table, this is what we're doing. We're going to marshal all the resources to get to this goal. That's and then at the end, everybody sums up whether they got to that goal, whether they pivoted, and so on. And so it's a real, there's like this competition nature to it. And it's very different. And I think it's, dare I say it, I think it's more purposeful. Well, not more purposeful, but it has a different
purpose. Does. But if you remember at Cloudfest, even though you're at another table doing something else, you wandered to other tables and helped them out with that as well if you had the solution. You know, there was an MCP table, there was an AIT table for accessibility, and they just all wandered about and saying, well, we've done this over there, maybe that would help, or we've done this over here, that maybe this would help. And they went, you know, when you wandered around the tables. But it was a, like Stephanie says, it's a vibe. You know, it's just a vibe, it gives a great vibe off. But yeah, they're asking for tables to, or people, you know, people to join tables for particular things to do for make.
If you go to the URL, so it's a lot for me to say, but I'll say it. So it's us.wordcamp.org/2025, the number, the numerals, /contributor-day. I'll put the link in the show notes, which will come out tomorrow. Well, if you read more about it there.
If you put in wcus.2025.
Yeah.
And follow the links.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, go with that. But I'll make sure that it's in the show notes in some way. And it definitely says it. It says this is an all-day hackathon and networking event. Various existing contributors work on specific projects. For folks new to contributing, it's a wonderful opportunity to visit different teams of Zurb and potentially begin contributing. Let's see. I shall be there.
And that's where I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there as well.
Let's find out what it's like. Rob, did you have anything on your little roster, or shall we press into our WordPressy stuff?
No, I'm pretty good these days. The only thing I want to announce, if I can, is my podcast is coming up on episode 600.
Oh, it's a big one. Wow. Yeah. Congratulations. That's like, if you did it every day, that's like nearly 2 years.
Yeah, I started it at the start of COVID, so it's been like 5.5 years.
But you're busting them out. That's incredible. So SDM podcast, we mentioned the links at the beginning in the bio, but if you go and Google SDM, then the letters SDM podcast, then no doubt you find it. So when does 600 drop, roughly, if you don't know exactly?
Sometime in August. Nice. It looks like 600 is going to be a montage of videos.
Oh, nice.
With the last video from somebody pretty special, not known in the world.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I wonder. Can I just say, if you fancy testing out a podcast plugin, you can podcasttheplus.com/Peter.
I'm already on the list. Just with vacation, I haven't had a chance to implement. But
honestly, holidays in Italy, it's fine. You get a pass. Totally fine. That would be great. That would be lovely. Anyway, there we go. So there we go. Check that out. 600. Boy, that's impressive. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, let's get into the normal run of events. So we were talking about Siobhan earlier and the things that she's doing, but there's another thing which I think Siobhan is involved in. If I've got that wrong, I apologize, Siobhan. But this is LoopConf. It is an in-person event happening in UK in September. It's a one-day event. It is the 25th of September. It's happening right in the heart of London. The venue's all been organized and what have you. And they are selling tickets. The early bird ones, according to what I can see here, have sold out. So they were marked at £299. But if you're in the UK or indeed are flying in, you can still pick up ones for £349. Again, 25th of September. Just as a corollary to that, because the date overlapped with what we do at WPLDN, what we've done is we've moved WPLDN to the night before. So if you so wished, you could go to WPLDN on what is a Wednesday, and then the following day you could attend this event. Obviously, you may have other plans, but that's now, the two don't conflict, which is quite nice now. So we shoved it along one day early. So hopefully you can come along to that as well. Okay. Stephanie, it is a podcast plugin that I'm building. Well, I'm not really. I just hang out and help. But in theory, it's me and Dan maybe. If you want to DM me, I'll let you know how to get signed up for the beta test. It's pretty cool. At least I think it is. But yeah, there you go. Okay,
just a little note on Stephanie. That little last sentence she used, that's her nom de plume. I'm just a little bit late.
What do you mean?
It's what she, that's her common nom de plume. I'm just a bit late.
Okay. LoopConf.com. There you go. You can check.
Michelle got it.
Right. Now.
It's your pen name. Yes.
This one, Equalize Digital. I don't know if you know Amber Hines. Amber Hines and various other people make up Equalize Digital. And they put this article out a few days ago, which I just thought it was nice to give a bit of recognition. I think a lot of accessibility work goes on in the background. A lot of people, keeping WordPress itself, core update and what have you. And they don't often shout about it. You don't really read too many articles where they say, I did this for WordPress's accessibility. But given the size of what's been going on, I think Equalize Digital are doing the right thing. They're making their contributions known. So this piece is called Making 7 Million E-Commerce Websites More Accessible, Equalize Digital's Role in Enhancing WooCommerce Core and Extensions. And, it does basically exactly that. I'll just read you the first paragraph, which gives you some influence, some idea of what's going on. Over the past year, our team partnered closely with WooCommerce core developers alongside other agencies like Fueled and TenUp to deliver more than 140 accessibility improvements to the Word WooCommerce core plugin. These updates represent a significant step forward for merchant developers and shoppers alike. And if you're looking at the screen, you can see a breakdown of the various different bits and pieces. It's a reasonably long article, and I didn't really go into the weeds. I don't want to go into the weeds. It was me just sort of saying, I think it's great that you're blowing your own trumpet, if you know what I mean, in this case. That sounds like I was sort of being a bit churlish, but I didn't mean it that way. I just think it's really nice that a company like this, who've done a lot of work to promote, in this case, WooCommerce, get to shout about it. So I'm just going to say a thank you, basically. I don't know if anybody else wants to comment on that, but
we have the accessibility law in the EU, which doesn't affect people if they're 5 and below in agencies, because for whatever reason, again, going for the big boys, just like GDPR was aimed at the people, Amazon and Facebook and all that kind of people, because you're big. But you can get fined an immense amount of money for not having your website accessible or trying to make it accessible in the EU since April, I think it came in. So it's very important that if you're building a WooCommerce website and it all suddenly blows up and you have 10 to 20 staff, you have to be accessible. You won't get away with it. So, it's a good thing that WooCommerce has done this along with all the other agencies, because it's important for, if you notice the other agencies involved, Nathan, they're the enterprise, 10up.
Ten up
enterprise fuel. Website. Right. So it's important for them to invest in WooCommerce to make it more accessible, for sure, because they're dealing with multi-million dollar companies. So
I kind of like also that even though it's a core thing, the community's kind of like chipping into that and making it clear that that's what they're doing as well, and it's not just sort of one voice. It's not the automaticians doing it all or whatever it may be. So yeah, really nice. Michelle or Rob, anything to add?
Yeah, so you've already mentioned Joe Dolson as well in this podcast, and I will say that between Joe and Amber and the companies that they represent, they are giving so much time, unsponsored, unpaid time, not only to Core, but also they are the driving force along with Beth Hannon, who has AccessiCart. They are the driving force behind WP Accessibility Day as well, also which they are not getting paid for. And so I just want to, yes, it's wonderful that they can, raise their own flag here and talk about things that they're doing. We all need to be talking about the things that they're doing as well, because they are putting so much time and effort and energy into helping make not only the web, but WordPress specifically, more accessible for everyone. So just wanted to throw that 2 cents in.
Thank you. Rob, anything else? Should we move on?
I just agree with Michelle. Amber and Joe and company are so unselfish in this community, and generally really great people too. Like I think Michelle and I both know, and Andrew know them well, and we're grateful to have them in our community. So
it's kudos to them. Yeah, I think being able to write a blog post where you trumpet what you've done, but without kind of trumpeting what you've done, it was quite a difficult skill. It's difficult to kind of, I don't know, mention what you've done without sounding boastful. And I think this pulls it off really well. And I just wanted to applaud them really for
Let's not forget they also sponsor WordCamps. They're really invested in the community as a whole. And actually, their Equalize Digital as a plugin is free to a certain extent. It's a massive.
It's in the repo.
Most Woo sites are actually not that accessible, even with all the accessibility laws. I mean, so I'm glad to see them on this tangent too. A lot of Woo sites are pretty bad, actually. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you indeed. I'll put the link into the show notes. It's on Equalize Digital. The URL is too long to mention, but I'll pop it into the show notes. But it starts off making 7 million e-commerce websites more accessible. You can probably Google that and discover it for yourself. But it goes into all of the different bits and pieces, how they did it, what the criteria are, and what have you. So go check it out. Okay.
As long as we're talking about accessibility, I'm going to interrupt for just a second. I'm putting another link in the chat. You don't have to pull it up if you don't want to. But I will say this year's T-shirt for WP Accessibility Day is lit. I am so excited about it.
Oh, yeah?
The front of it features WPAD in American Sign Language, so you can actually see what the letters look like. And then on the back is the alt text.
Nicely done.
So yeah, I had to share that.
Oh, that is good. So that's the front, is it? The story? You could maybe see the back. I don't know. Oh, there it is there.
Yeah, if you scroll down, brilliant. I think you can see it. You can see it more. Point. But yeah, it does say what the, it says alt WPAD in American Sign Language on the front of a light blue T-shirt.
Say, bravo to you for managing to squeeze the word lit in. I think... I think the first time on the show.
As a 56-year-old, even. Well,
I was going to say, like, it's the first time any vocabulary in use under the age of a 40-year-old has been adopted. So, well done.
His age is the opposite of mine. How funny is that? And I, when she said lit, I just went, oh, dear God.
I thought it was cool.
I have a 22-year-old daughter, so I'm very up on. I knew what she meant.
I was sitting down at my dinner table the other day, and one of my kids said that, and so we got into this whole conversation about the vocabulary that they use, and they rattled off because they obviously probably don't tend to use words like that when they're in our environment because they know that it's going to be like, what does that mean? They know that they're going to get a load of pushback from us. But they then started to reel all these words up, and some of them are just so interesting. And some of them carry such power, you know, and it's like a three-letter word, and it's like being punched in the gut, metaphorically. And honestly, it just goes straight over my head. It's really interesting. Anyway, there we go. There is the accessibility.
I just thought it was cool. Thank you for letting me share.
Right. Okay. Now we're going to launch into what I imagine is probably going to be the rest of the show. It's AI. We're not going to be able to escape this. Very often I will go. So when I make this, I trawl around all the RSS feeds of all the things and I find what's interesting. And usually there's like one or two bits about AI. In the more recent past, that has been growing steadily. To the point where now, if you do what I do and you habituate and you really do look at the WordPress news, this now represents, I would say, more than half of the content over the last 2 weeks has been about AI. So I don't think this is going away. I kind of struggle to understand it because I don't make much use of it, but we're going to spend quite a lot of time talking about AI. So if that's your bag, strap in. Please school me in the comments. If I say something dumb, I want to know because I don't make much use of this. And so it's me really just trying to get an understanding of it and what have you. So first of all, I'm going to link to three different articles which are coming out of make.wordpress.org. The first one is called Abilities API. Oh, it's just occurred to me, Tammy's in the comments, so she'll be able to help me out because she's really good with this kind of stuff. So the first one is Abilities API by James LePage. Now, these three things, I think, work in concert with each other. Then Pascal Birchler talking about the MCP adapter. And finally, over on Make, the AI Experiments plugin. Now, if I go back to the first one, the Abilities API, I think it's quite possible that this is the most important piece of news that I've read out on this show ever. And I've been doing this for years because this suddenly turns WordPress into something that anything that's got to do with AI can get a hold of and start to understand what a WordPress website is capable of. Now, Andrew in the past has been responsible for building Birther AI right at the forefront when, frankly, I didn't even know that AI was even possible.
September 2021.
What was that? 2021, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing
May 2021.
Yeah, but I'm guessing that a ton of custom code had to be written so that it could figure out what the heck a WordPress website was.
Yeah.
And now, exactly. But now we're on the cusp of, we've got an AI team, and it would appear that the endeavor in the short term is let us figure out a framework, for want of a better word, with the Abilities API. Let's understand what a WordPress website can do. Let's try to figure out everything that a WordPress website can do. But not only that, if you're a plugin developer, let's try to figure out a way that you can tell any AI system, be it Claude or Anthropic or ChatGPT or whatever comes along in the future, a method to tell it what your plugin is capable of. So this unified way of doing it. And the intention then, and I don't know how quickly this will come, the intention is to basically, as far as I can parse it, is to talk to your website in just normal language. Type sentences, get things back. Like, I want to post I want it to be scheduled. I want to know about the SEO. I want a featured image for it. Do all these checks, make sure it's going to work. And hopefully all of this abilities API will provide the framework for these AIs to understand what different bits and pieces the AI can do. And although it sounded a bit glib at the beginning, like, that seems to me a profound change in what WordPress is endeavoring to be. It's kind of moving away from log into the WP admin, do your stuff, understand the plugin, learn what the plugin does, figure out the ins and outs of it, get frustrated, get bored, get ticked off. We're moving to a point where you just say, the AI now knows everything that that plugin can do. Just talk to the AI. It'll figure it all out for you. So that's my first bit on that. Does anybody want to comment on that? I hope I didn't get that too wrong.
No,
I think what you're saying is right. But what, you know, let's just say how crucial it was, or how what a baller move it was for Automattic to buy James LePage and yeah. stuff. Right, what a baller move! A baller move also to move away from remote working and whatever yeah. the phrase is, to actually move the. This is why I came up with that phrase I was telling you about earlier. It's because AI is moving at the speed of light. Asynchronous working isn't good enough for AI these days. And what they've realized at Automattic, mm-hmm. they've said, right, you're all coming to New York and we're all going to be there. And you can look over each other's shoulder. You can tap each other on the shoulder. You can have the water cooler moments. You can have the physicality of being together mm-hmm. to develop this AI. That's how important I think Automattic have made AI within their infrastructure of Automattic by bringing James LePage, Felix Arntz, isn't it?
Yeah, he's on board in that team. So is Pascal.
All of these people together will not necessarily put it into core. That's why I think they're talking about canonical plugins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think we'll have AI in core in a not too distant couple of years minimum. Because it's just so important to be able for WordPress to compete against the Bolts and the Lovables and all of the other platforms around there that actually can build apps and build websites on the fly. I think it's important that WordPress concentrates on that for us mere mortals to be able to join up the dots, which is what the Abilities API does. And I think it's a phenomenal future we're looking forward to.
Yeah, so I've been very, I think skeptical is the right word, maybe even a little bit stronger than that, you know, fairly skeptical. And I have a variety of reasons for that. So obviously I'm getting called out a bit in the comments, which is fine and it's fun. Nathan realizing right now that AI isn't going away.
Tammy's calling us out all the time. So evidently the AI team is in Google, not Automattic.
Well, so the AI team has a bunch of people and they are employed. They're going to be in an office together in New York. James LePage is one of them, but Felix is not.
And he's Pascal away. I'm generally talking about the people involved, but certainly
that's right.
You know, they're asking for people to come in, which is
and cool. then yeah, Stephanie here saying Nathan says AI is lit. Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. Okay, so here's the piece. Here's the bit that I didn't get until just now. I didn't get what Automattic's position was. I just thought it was, you know, like, I don't know, add a button to the editor somewhere that would make you be able to write text. This is all starting to make sense to me now. Am I super excited about AI? Not really. Would I prefer a world without it? Honestly, if we could all just ignore it and move on, that would be my I'm a bit of a Luddite in that sense. I would kind of love a world where we didn't have to be productive all the time. That would be quite nice. I think in some ways we all hate the grind, right? It'd be quite nice if everybody was as lazy as I was. So I'm not entirely convinced that AI is in the best interest of everybody all the time. But the bit that I didn't get was this bit. I didn't get how it was going to fit into AI. I just imagined that you'd have to employ some third-party service, pay for it, get it to communicate. They'd write custom code, you'd install a plugin, blah, 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 more stuff. But this is making more sense to me now. It's all going to be part of this kind of core abilities API, and I hadn't got it. And so I can only apologize.
Nathan, can I jump in for a second?
Yeah,
you mentioned a comment about a world would be better with AI, and you don't need to be productivity all the time. And I think what you need to do in this world is, as entrepreneurs, we all need to take care of ourselves and our mental health. And I'm going to go there, because even in the world of AI, it's moving so quick. We need to do things like I did last week and go on vacation. We need to do things where we step away from the screens. We need to do things where we read a paper book and say, forget the AI, forget the life. We need to go sit in the backyard. The thing we got to remember, and I know it's worth mentioning, is in this high-paced world, we got to make sure we take care of ourselves more than ever. And that's really, really important. And I'm speaking from a guy who's been in and out of counseling and therapy for years. It's just so part of my health regime. So you folks, like, don't let the AI get you down. Learn how to manage the tool and make your life better. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. No, that's helpful. I appreciate that.
Valid points, but I think that you said you were lazy. I mean, you've never met a lazier person.
He is not lazy. No, no.
Nathan did. I'm inherently lazy. I would rather do nothing than something.
I think what I was trying to encapsulate there was more, wouldn't it be great if everybody was equally lazy?
We get nothing done, Nathan.
Well, yeah, but then if nobody was getting anything done, nobody would feel like, oh, that's weird. I wish I was doing more. You know, it'd be kind of nice if everybody bought into this philosophy. Yeah. That's not the case. Anyway, so that one written by James Lepet. Sorry, Michelle, do you want to add anything to that before I go on to the next
one? I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
You don't want it next.
Right, so that was the first one.
I think it's all been said. There's nothing that...
I can get really heated about it in all the wrong ways. And so for me to be excited about it is kind of novel. And I'm kind of enjoying it. And Tammy says something about that. She says, look, we can see the move away from begrudging to excitement. I don't know how long it's going to last, Tammy. 4:15. Oh, that's about us. Give it another hour and it'll probably all be over. But there's the first bit, the abilities API. Then we move on to this one again. Dropping up, so notice the date, 17th of July, 2025. This next piece, 17th of July, 2025. This third piece, 17th of July, 2025.
Moving quickly, speed of light.
Yeah, so this is the MCP adapter. So the Model Context Protocol is an open protocol that standardizes how applications provide context to LLM. So imagine we've now done the ability bit. The AI can now talk to, you know, it can say what it can do and what it can't do and how things can be done. Then we go to the MCP adapter, which is kind of almost like this kind of bridge between the two things. I won't go into the detail there. And then now the kind of the real world experimentation piece, the bit where all of that rubber hits the road and now this stuff can happen. And whilst AI for me has been very exciting, I've seen it going on elsewhere and it's been breathtaking, but I haven't noticed it happening in core like this. And the fact that this team got employed and has very quickly turned around articles, which I can understand, is really helpful. But I am so impressed with what that team has done. And I kind of think that WordPress, definitely there is a chance that it would get left behind with the AI revolution and all that's happening. But this makes me feel much more sanguine that future is not one that we need to worry too much about. This AI team does seem to have shored that up a lot. I think I'll stop talking.
Well, you've got the REST API. That was a proper game changer, right? REST API. You got WPCLI. That was a game changer. When you join all of those dots together with what's happening with the MCP, what's happening with the experiments plugin, and what this team is doing, WordPress is going to be unstoppable. It's crazy how good it is. Now, you know, I may seem over enthusiastic about this, but I love AI, like in this context. I love AI. I love AI in other contexts, helping blind people to see, helping deaf people to hear, helping physically challenge people to walk and talk and everything like that. That's a part of AI that I love as well. But this, because it's in our world, is astounding. And also the stuff that we're doing with the company that I currently work for is amazing. And it's, do you know what it is really though, Nathan? It's good fun.
Ah, interesting.
We haven't had fun in the WordPress community.
Yeah, yeah.
For a couple of years.
Right? Yeah.
So now we're going to have fun. Let's have fun. Okay. Let's play with it. Let's experiment. And let's just have a smile on our face while we're using WordPress. I think it's awesome.
And the nice bit is we now have clever, thoughtful people kind of dealing with it. So we don't have to. We can just use it.
If you've ever spoken to James LePage.
I have. Nice guy. Yeah.
He's mind-blowingly clever, but also has this ability of talking in lay speak, which is exactly what we need.
Yeah. You know, and he's like younger than my children.
I think he's had a Neuralink since the age of three anyway. So yeah, it's just the way it is. But it's also how humble these people are as well, about their talent, about their intelligence, about their thought processes, about how they're getting there. And I think if you're not humble with this, because with your humility, you realize the power of AI that's going to give everybody within the community and the customers that we have as well. You realize that if you don't keep humble about it, you are going to expand too quickly, too fast, and you're going to break things badly. So you have to have a little bit of humility about it. This is what we want to do, but we also need to do it at a pace that we can keep up with and that other people and our users can keep up with as well. And I think that's where it's valuable that these type of people are being involved.
So I'm going to link to those three articles in the show notes. Thank you. And a couple of things came through. These are, I think, pretty much related to what Rob was saying, you know, about taking care of yourself and all of that. So Sayi, I apologize. I'm not.
Sayi, he's part of your team. He's on he makes our videos.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So I'm guessing it was in the context of that. Sorry.
Yeah, Rob. Thank you so much.
Yep. And Cammy as well. Rob, yes, we have to take care of ourselves as well. So that's, yeah, that's really nice. And I don't know if Tammy's comment there, plus 100, was to reiterate as that came a little bit later. So there might be about something else. But, okay, let's keep on moving because the AI train, as I said, is definitely
what's...
Yeah, it's definitely chugging. Go on. However, we're going to move away from the core sort of stuff. This... just dropped with from Elementor. It's called Angie. And honestly, I don't know anything about it other than this splash screen. I saw a tweet and I thought, you know, Elementor, really credible company. Let's mention it. So the headline goes like this, and this is pretty much all I know. Angie, and they're making the claim that it's the first agentic AI plugin for WordPress. It says you lead, Angie builds, publishes updates, give it a task, and it goes to it. It kind of sounds almost like some of the stuff we were talking with the Abilities API, but I'm guessing it's bound inside of Elementor. So obviously in Elementor, they know all the things already that they can do with their own code base. So as a few examples, add a hero section to my website. You type that in, press go, it does it. Launch a 15% sale across all products. You type it in, it does it. And then a whole variety of other stuff. All that we can know is that you can apply for early access at the moment. So there's a form on the page if you're an Elementor user. I'm going to say it's Elementor. Maybe it's not.
Well, this is what James LePage was working on before sale to Autonomy. It was WPAI. Uh-huh. And it was an agentic where you could basically go on the page and you could ask it to generate a featured image, post a blog, schedule a blog, update your prices, all that kind of stuff. So now what's happened is a couple of months ago, you couldn't have done this kind of stuff because AI wasn't capable of it. It didn't recognize things, you know, far back. So you could, now you've got the video. If you remember, the videos were really janky a couple of months ago. Now, because it has visual awareness, you can now see the videos are getting really quite good. And it's the same thing with the agents and the agentic AIs that come out, just like the AIs that we're coming out with as well. They can recognize things. So they can look at an image and say, that's not great, or that's not accessible, or that doesn't, you know, the colors aren't great, or whatever it may be. And this is just how fast we're moving with AI giving us this ability to have these agents to do things for us within whatever platform we're using, that's where we're going to get faster at development, quicker at launching. Imagine you've got a Black Friday sale going on, and it ain't working, and you've suddenly realized that your competitors have updated their prices, so they're a dollar less. You just pop into Angie and go, change all our prices, take a dollar off all of our prices, and do your to tell everybody. And also, while you're at it, connect to my email marketing system and send out an email to everybody to say that we've reduced our prices by a dollar on this Black Friday thing. And that's basically what's going to start happening.
So, yeah. So this is the Elementor offering. As I say, I don't know if it steps outside of the bounds of Elementor. They're saying it's a plugin for WordPress. I feel that they would use different language. I don't know, maybe they would say work for Elementor if it was bound to Elementor. So we'll see. But anyway, it's there. And they're making the claim that it's the first one. However, I think it was it you, Michelle, spotted that there was something similar? Was it you, the yes. hosting? Mm-hmm. Again, I've not seen this one. I've just caught sight of it. Michelle sent me this link. So this is Hostinger, who are a host. In the WordPress space and elsewhere, I think, which is also saying that it's your first agentic AI. So I don't know if there needs to be a fight between these two. Cody has a scrap with Angie. See who wins. But this,
I mean, they may end up dating. You never know. Yeah. Cody and Angie. They could be great friends.
No, that's too weird. No, we don't need that in our lives. What the heck? Oh, dear. But I feel just from looking at this page, this is trying to kind of be more, maybe more back end, I don't know, than the other one. The Angie one looked a little bit more front end, like you would do everything in concert with being in the front end. This looks a bit more like, I don't know, you're in the dashboard.
It's definitely dashboard side.
Trying to do things, yeah. So we'll see. But so there's another option, and you can guess that these are going to come thick and fast when when the stuff from James LePage has been really solidified. I'm guessing that we will be in on that.
And everybody's used the WP AI open source stuff that's out there.
Yeah. So anyway, there was that. And then, okay, so that was all very positive. And then we get to some of the more kind of like thoughtful pieces off the back of it. And a few kind of cautionary tales, I suppose. This is Eric Karkovic. Eric, apologies. And this piece on the Specky Boy website, which I believe is his, at least I've only ever seen him writing over there. How will AI impact the next generation of designers? So read the word designers there carefully. So he's not talking about developers here. He's talking about designers. And this is an area where I think that kind of work is going to be hoovered up by the AI. So this is where my problem lies. So although I've been very bullish so far, I think we do need to exercise caution, because it would seem not to be in the interests of all of humanity if we just unleash something which in a heartbeat, and by heartbeat, I mean a few months, really, just obliterates an entire industry, because, you know, we've got to deal with the consequences of that as a society. And he's talking about how designers, these generative AI tools, are now so good that for basic design work, there's really no question anymore. You know, why would you employ a designer? Why would you even waste time going to something like Shutterstock and looking around, whereas you can, for pennies, just get an AI to do it and it will probably be fine? And although he's not saying that there isn't a design process, which obviously a human will for now, at least anyway, be superior at, then, you know, but he's sort of slightly, I think he's basically saying we just need to watch out. Yeah, so there was that piece. I don't know if anybody wants to contribute.
I do, actually. Mm-hmm, a couple things here. First of all, we've seen evolution in business over the years, the printing press, page builders in WordPress, et cetera, et cetera. So careers are always evolving. That's the first thing we got to realize. I don't think in the long run this is going to cost jobs. I just think it's going to change the way we do things. That's the first thing. The second thing is AI and security, and you all on this panel know how much of a security guy I am, have a big problem right now. I don't think AI at this point in time is generating necessarily secure code or secure design. So I think that's an issue too. So I think there's a couple things, moving parts going on here. And it's going to take some time to see where it shakes out personally. But
thank you. Anybody else?
I also think a little aside, but we need to keep an eye on how all of our AI use is impacting our environment, because it's really driving a lot environmentally. Entire towns are being impacted by the environment and the use of what it takes to generate AI in and that kind of thing. So, especially Grok right now. So,
yeah, the I've heard sort of rumors about the, you know, the new power stations, power plants, if you like, for kind of like making sure that these newer AI facilities can come online, and it is kind of eye watering. The amount of data that is perceived, you know, the size of these installations, what they're predicting they will need to build and are in fact building in order to satisfy the need.
And at least here in the United States, things like that tend to get built in lower economic areas, which also not only impact that region, but also impacts underrepresentation, because the lower economic regions tend to be have a higher concentration of underrepresented folks. And so what are we doing in that respect as well? So
going to build these
things.
So
we'll just show space. No, we will, because space is cold, right? You won't need refrigeration.
It's so pretty chilly.
You know, we had all this, and I'm not dissing this at all, but we will always have the anti of why not to do something.
Yep.
And I agree with it. It's going to affect the planet. What we don't have is the positivity around what can we do about it. So we could actually put it in space. You know, when Microsoft put their servers underwater.
Under the water,
cool, right? So, you know, and all this nonsense about, you know, fans and windmills and everything being whatever they are. Mm-hmm. We have to, as humans, we have to look at our own progress technologically and how that is going to affect our environment for our children, their children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. There is no doubt about it. But we have a universe. So we'll just then need to launch it into space. We've got lasers. We'll just broadband laser. You can you transport broadband by laser now. So, you know, it's only one step forward. We didn't think a few years ago that we could generate an image with AI. That, you know, the possibilities are endless.
I think
is stop worrying about it and just think, how do we fix it? That's all.
This is an argument which is constantly being argued, I think, between environmental minded people and the AI. And over here, they're often labeled as tech bros, the usual suspects, the Sam Altmans and the Elon Musks who are pushing this agenda. And the idea, I think, being touted from the tech bros, again, I'm doing air quotes, is that we'll let AI figure out the environmental stuff.
Why not?
If it works, it's great. If it doesn't work, it's kind of a bit late, isn't it?
We've only got the one. Say get rid of humans, and then we haven't got any other issues.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
it's a lot of hot air,
the environment up in an attempt to not screw the environment up. But anyway, yes. So, and here's another piece. So that was Eric Karkovac. This is now Chris Coyer, who used to be the custodian of CSS Tricks. Kind of a similar piece, really, only this is more about content creators. So he is making the point that if you are a content creator, how AI is, I don't think it's happened yet, but his concern is that maybe it will happen. It will kind of hollow out that, because the promise of that, you know, you'd write something, Google would find it, stick it on a search engine page and send traffic to you. That's kind of dying. Now the AI is consuming it all. You didn't agree to the AI consuming all, but it did it anyway. And that's now the model. That Pandora's box cannot be closed anymore. And whether or not it's going to be possible as content creators, if the justification for you creating content is because you love to create content, well, that's not going to change. If your justification for creating content was because your employer told you to do it, well, again, that's not really going to change. But if your justification for creating content is to make some money, that might change. And it would be a shame to see that kind of content kind of disappearing off the web. And he makes the point that CSS tricks, if you were starting it now, it's a real dilemma as to whether you would even bother, because you just know that the promise between you and search, or in this case AI, is very, very different indeed. And so you can go and check that out as well.
And Nathan, two spots. We were talking earlier before we went there about podcasters. And I think, you know, you, Michelle, and I are all do podcasting. Andrew's appeared on enough podcasts to sink a battleship. So, you know, that's another story. Love you, but that's okay. But and honestly, AI makes our job easier, from doing editing to doing show notes to doing all kinds of stuff, right? And choose your AI flavor. In my case, it's Gemini and Notebook LM these days. Other people use other things. That's the first thing. The other thing is AI's changed the way we do search. So I did an experiment a couple of months ago where I took my partner's name. She is not active on the internet except on Instagram. Threw her name, and I've mentioned her in a couple of podcasts because those who have listened to my podcast knows she's one of the people I dedicate my show to. And her name showed up all over AI. So AI is changing the way we do search in a big way. And I think we're going to get to the point where you're going to go to AI for search instead of going to Google for search and choose your AI flavor. I'm already there. So, you know.
Yeah, kind of interesting. So I'll just, the bit that resonated me, which kind of is very much a part of what you were just saying, Rob. I'm back on the CSS Tricks website here. He says, I certainly wrote a lot of content for that site, so CSS Tricks, and still do, and there are people who still do to this day. And AI have slurped up and increasingly re-slurp it up. My main concerns with AI splurge are, it's rude. Nobody asks me or the authors if that's okay. Now that's the bar, and it never will. So, you know, that's not about to change. The business model is akin to stealing pennies. And I'll just read the last one. Sorry, Rob. AI interfaces are incentivized not to credit the sources. This is the big one when it comes to content. AI interfaces are not incentivized to credit sources or link out. They want you to think that they are the brain and you do not need to go anywhere else. So I think that kind of sums it up quite nicely for me.
Now, what I'll tell you is, using Gemini as much as I do, it will credit sources. So I've had cases when I did that experiment, it would actually say where it came from. That's
does it surface that in the context as you're reading it, or is that like footnotes?
It's usually at the bottom.
Yeah, you see that to me, that's very different, right? That's almost like, who reads the footnotes?
Gives you links to go to once it, you know, say you've got a paragraph like this. I mean, I don't understand this. It's rude. Nobody asked me or the other authors. I mean, nobody, you're being found.
I get it. I can see it from the other side, in that it was fine when the promise was you're being found, we'll send you traffic. Whereas the promise now is more, you'll be found.
We've stolen your content without giving you any credit for what you've said.
And we're going to recycle it and pretend like the answer came out of us.
Right.
That, I think, is his point. You know, we're going to sort of dress it up in language of, okay, here's the answer. This is what you need to know.
You know, I can see that on content generation, but certainly on search, it does give links to where the citations.
It hasn't always. That's actually recent in ChatGPT.
Yeah, which is a good thing. But don't forget, we're learning. Right. This is why we have to have legislation. I hate big government. I hate it. But, you know, it does protect us, you know, Monopolies Commission, the trust, antitrust rules and all that kind of stuff. And the European GDPR, at the end of the day, it is protecting us. And the thing is that that's what it's protecting us from, is inconsiderate, opportunistic entrepreneurship, where they're saying, right, I can take attribution for this. Look at photographers. You have to give them an attribution. The whole point of Getty is they have 500 people ambulance chasing.
Yeah, they really
do. That I've been caught on that, £600 for 100 pics.
I had a client get caught.
You know, crazy. But it's just, so I agree that they should be forced to give citations. Because why not? Yeah?
And I think that's his point, right? Maybe if you can spin that, if you can turn that car around and point it in the other direction, so that, like, for example, citations might be the remedy that he's after.
Yeah.
And if that could be done reliably so that the content creator really did get the traffic, if traffic is their incentive and they want to make money because they got ads on the site or they're trying to shift a product or whatever it may be, then we're trying to get to a point where content creators don't feel, what's the point? We're not going to create any more content because I'm not getting any traffic. That citation bit might very well be the answer, but it feels like maybe that hasn't been handled quite so well, certainly from a legislative there we go, point of view. Nobody's compelled to do it. So maybe if they were compelled to do it, that'd be interesting. But the, so... Again, just interesting. Obviously, Chris Coyer, I think he said he's written something, I don't know, something like, I can't remember, a huge amount of words over his time. And he's obviously got legitimate concerns because that's what he does. So we'll see how that lands. I'm very conscious of the time, and I just want to quickly nip through a few more things, if that's okay. Yep. First one is this. Again, we're staying with the theme of AI. This is AI and website security. So really, in Rob's wheelhouse, they have an AI in your website security, how threats are evolving. It is a live event, and it's taking place in just a couple of days. It's 30th of July, 2 p.m. EDT. So I haven't got time to read all of the blurb, but
who's presenting this, it? Oh, great.
Yeah. This guy. He knows his stuff. Thomas.
He does.
Yeah, he really does. He has a website called We Watch Your Website, and they monitor, I don't know, 7.5 trillion things. It really is a lot. It's a totally credible number. And so that'll be an interesting thing. If you want to find out where we're at with AI and tools and things to make your website secure, obviously Rob said a minute ago he's got his concerns, so that might be of interest to you. I'll very quickly move on, if that's all right. This one I thought was really cool, just because it's cool and it's terrifying in equal measure. So this is a company who they are called. Now, let me get this right. What is the company called? Can't remember. Anyway, doesn't really matter. You can read the article yourself.
Blocking attribution.
Yeah, exactly. It's on the page, but I can't find Descartes. There you go. Descartes is the name of this company. They're building a set of AI tools which will be able to modify your video in real time. I remember watching a BBC drama. It was like a 10-part drama, and it was like 6 or 7 years ago, and it was exactly this plot, that somehow you could interrupt live TV and make live TV different from what was actually happening. And it, you know, so you could, you know, tell the newsreader what to say. In effect, on the one hand, they're saying something over here, but what the public see in real time is something different. That's what this is. And so you have this person here making a video. And so in the corner here is what they're actually putting out onto the live stream. And then over here, you've got what is coming out. And it's completely in real time. And it gets all crazy. You know, he ends up looking like Spider-Man, and he ends up looking like something out of manga. And, I just thought it was fun and terrifying in equal measure, because... You know,
it's definitely Black Mirror time, stuff, isn't it?
Next time I'll be made to look 20, and who wants that?
You don't need it. You're a handsome fella.
You know what I mean, though? I just think it's so interesting and so profoundly fraught with problems, like the idea that you can't trust video. Video, until recently, was the last bastion, wasn't it, of like, if it's in a video, it happened. Whereas photography, since Photoshop came along, there's been that nagging doubt, like, no, yeah, it's not real.
You know, show pictures or it didn't happen is not going to be a phrase that we can use anymore.
No, not with this. Mm-hmm. And even live stuff, you won't really even know. But the technology is very exciting. So I thought I'd raise that one.
Imagine that you've got a news broadcast and you're broadcasting to different countries and you're giving different messages to different countries.
Yeah. Different language.
It's just like propaganda heaven, isn't it?
Oh, God. Yeah. He's dropped the propaganda word. We're going to have to end the episode now.
Sorry.
Let me just see if there was anything else that I wanted to mention. There was Draw a Fish, but there's no time. Oh, go on. I'll quickly draw a fish.
It's time for it.
This is drawafish.com. Drawafish.com. So, look, this is how good I am. I was always bad at art. You get a score. The probability of it being a fish at this point, as soon as you start to put like fins on it, Look, I immediately went all green. It's like, okay, that's a fish. So you draw a fish. You have, I'm going to do a really big happy fish. Have. That's the level.
No, but it's smiling. It really does. Yeah.
Smiley fish. That's and funny. Then, like, as if that wasn't fun enough. This is what the internet was made for.
This
as
is
if
my
that
favorite
wasn't
part.
Fun enough. You could click the Make It Swim button, type in a name, and then you submit it.
You can make it swim against the tide.
If you're lucky enough, it will become... and you could see that I'm not the only one on the internet. It was terrible.
You can't even find yours in there.
You know, when you come
find
across
these things, that's what I want to know.
You come across a website and it needlessly captures your attention. Well, drawafish.com.
Must have been a slow day.
Was that for me? So there we go. A few comments just before we end it. I'm going to leave the drawafish up there because it's pleasing.
Oh, yes,
it's good on the eyes. Yeah,
leave it there.
Nomad Skateboarding Hello says, if I read 10 philosophy papers, then write one with footnotes, do I contact the other 10 authors for permission to digest their original content? And then it carries on. Not my argument, one I have seen. Interesting point.
But the footnotes are giving credit, right? So we were talking about when it's not giving credit. Mm. That's the difference.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. This, we can't possibly solve it, can we? And James Lau is joining us just as we end. Good morning.
Good morning, James.
James, we've done an entire 90 minutes about fish. You should press rewind. It's great.
You know, missed really out, James. You missed out.
And Nathan's issues with AI, James.
Yeah. Oh, good job, though, like you said. My son will draw a fish today. That's great.
Nice.
What was that old phrase? Draw a fish, you know, teach a man how to draw a fish.
How do these sites make money? That's what I want to know.
They don't make money. It's just there. Because
do it, don't they? It's crazy.
For giggles. Yeah.
Give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach him to draw a fish, he'll be entertained for hours.
I was trying to sum that up, and you did it perfectly.
Philosophy of the fish.
I think that's going to be the show notes title today. Give a man a fish or something like that.
Yeah. I thought
there
it was AI is lit, but you know, there you go.
AI is lit. Let me
I like that one. I told you that.
AI is lit. Does lit require a full stop at the end? Is it an abbreviation or is it a word?
No, it's lit as in on fire, amazing.
I'm sorry, lit. Not like lit up. I thought it came from legitimate. For some reason.
No. It's lit as in lit. Honestly, up.
My kids explained that to me. They still didn't.
We have to educate them.
It's because you live
I'm
in
older
the North
than you,
England,
Nathan, but you can always ask me.
I need to go. I need to
so
go.
So am I, Michelle.
I want to live in the Shire. I'd
it
be
is
a
distressing,
hobbit.
Distressing, Nathan, your lack of. Just litness. It's just
stability.
Everybody should come back next week when we teach Nathan how he has Riz.
That's right.
Yes.
Nathan definitely had Riz.
That sounds rude. Are you being rude or is that?
That's a compliment.
Serious.
You have Riz. You definitely
have
Riz.
I got all the Riz. Okay. That's it. Okay. I don't know what I just said. All I can say is my mother's very disappointed in me. And on that bombshell. We'll knock it on the head. It's an absolute pleasure to have all the guests on. Obviously, that goes without saying. So thank you so much to Michelle Frechette. Thank you to Rob Cairns. Thank you to Andrew Palmer. But also very nice to have you come in into the comments and sort of pushing us in different directions and what have you. And I really appreciate that. We will be back this time next week. Don't know who's on yet, but we will be back this time next week. And just before we go, the slightly humiliating hand wave.
Is that how you do it?
Oh, yeah. I've got a whole new thing. It started last week. I go like that, and then I go like that. It's all the way.
I love it, Michelle.
There we go. And I will click stop. And if you three want to hang around for a little bit, we can certainly do that. But for the rest of you, thank you so much. We will see you next time or this week in WordPress. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.